All right, like I said, today we're going to start a journey through Ephesians. And I kind of chose Ephesians because, well, it kind of goes well with, on Wednesday nights we're going through the book of Romans. And like Romans, Ephesians wasn't written to a specific church. I mean, it was written to the book or to the church of Ephesians, but it wasn't written to address problems or issues or, you know, certain things like that, that a lot of Paul's letters were when he heard, hey, this is going on at the church. I want to correct you and lead you down the right way. He's wanting to kind of lead them the right way right from the get-go is what's going on. And Paul actually pastored this church for 3 years. It's one of those rarities where Paul stuck around long enough to pastor a church and stuff like that. So he had special feelings for this church in his heart, and he just wanted to share this with them. And by the way, it helps to put this in context as we go through the book of Ephesians. He wrote this from prison. He was in prison in Rome when he wrote this. Kind of like Corinthians, the books and everything there. So kind of keep that in mind, that he's dealing with that as he's trying to deal with and share his insight, his wisdom, and his love with these churches that he wrote those to. Well, let's get to it. It says, but before we get to our scripture, it is about being chosen this morning. That's kind of where Paul starts off. And it's going to get a little tricky, but and I'll admit, when we get to some of this, this wasn't something that I wanted to deal with a while back because I just didn't feel comfortable with it, but I do now. And I want you guys to be comfortable with it. But as we're talking about the subject of being chosen, I want you to take yourself back to your childhood. Okay? And if you're a kid already, well, you don't have very far to go. All right? I want you to picture yourself back in gym class or on the playground at recess, and you're divvying up teams for a game or whatever. How does that usually go? Usually got two guys that are standing up there, right? They pick, who usually gets picked to be the team captains? By the way, usually the best guys or something like that, right? Neil says him, by the way. So, never mind. We'll just leave that be. So then as they're divvying up the games, how does it seem like they pick their teams? What order? Give it to me. Best ones first. Now, as they're going through there and it's okay, John and Lowell, they're my team captains and stuff. Do you think that as soon as they, before they even pick these folks out, they've got some folks in their heads that they already know that they're going to pick? Yeah, of course they do. It's that way if Lowell gets this, John's like, I got this guy in my pocket. I'm going to go ahead and take him next or whatever, right? And then best ones first until you get to what? Not so much the ones that got picked, but the ones that got, okay, I'll, come on. You know, that's kind of the way it feels, right? Well, this morning we're going to talk about that being chosen. We're going to talk about predestination. And that's the part that I really wasn't all that comfortable trying to explain until very recently here, because there's different schools of thought on predestination and the ideas of it. When you hear that word, I wasn't going to do this, I'm going to do it now. When you hear that word, what comes to mind? Predestination. Huh? Fate? Okay. That's one that I hadn't thought of, but that's good. Yeah. What else? Anything? As we go through this, I want you to kind of be thinking about what that word might have meant to you. But let's get into our scripture here this morning and see what that being chosen is all about. And a couple other things besides being chosen. It's Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 1. It's page 153 in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles, if you want to turn there. This is not the whole thing up here. I know I say that every week, but there we go. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Notice that Paul's saying that, I didn't choose to be this apostle. I didn't choose this line of work or this path for me. He says, God chose this for me. God chose me. So he starts with this choosing right off the bat. And he says, to the saints that are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession over it to the praise of his glory. Notice he mentions being chosen. He mentions being predestined in there a couple times. Before the foundations of the world. But he starts off with saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual. He says, we start off with our greeting. We're blessing one another. He's asking blessings to be on these readers of his letter and the saints and the believers in Christ. But now he's saying, you know, bless God, bless the Father. He's calling down blessings on God himself. Well, think about it. What has God blessed you in your life? I see nods. Yeah, absolutely. If we're standing or sitting here, sorry, I'm standing here. If we're sitting here this morning and worshiping God together and praising God together, why would we be doing that? In recognition, hopefully, of what he's done in our lives, the way he's blessed us. Matter of fact, how does it say that in our scripture here this morning, it says ways that he's blessed us? Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Through Jesus' blood we have redemption. It means we've been bought back. He says, we have forgiveness of our trespasses. All of our sins have been forgiven. They've been covered. They've been paid for. According to the riches of his grace. Not because of anything that we did, just because God loves us. And when we've accepted Christ, through Christ we've got those things. He provided that way. He made that way. So which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known the mystery of his will. Does everybody know exactly what God's will is today?
No.
But do we have at least a way to turn to, and at least an inkling of what he wants us to live like and be like and do for him and his glory and his kingdom? And part of that is going. But a lot of it is this, is worshiping and praising him. When we're going and doing, we should be worshiping and praising him as well. It's all tied together. What else do you have here? It says, according to his purpose. See, he's done all this for a purpose. To keep furthering that kingdom. He saved us for a purpose. He redeemed us for a purpose. He chose us for a purpose. That purpose isn't necessarily our eternity in heaven. That's the bonus. That's the other part. We've got that whole... I want to share this with you. I just lost it. Sainthood, or I'd rather say, you know, believer, priesthood of believers. There's where I wanted to go. Israel was supposed to be a priesthood. The whole Israel was supposed to be a priesthood to everyone in the world so they could see them and see God's glory through them and share God's glory with them. That's our job too. We've got this priesthood of believers. That's what Martin Luther believed. That he said that we have this priesthood of believers that go out and share God's word. And that's our job. That's what he chose us to do. So let's get to that choosing part then. Because he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. By the way, it's saying that all those blessings came from where? From heavenly places. They're godly. They're from God. He says, even as he chose us in him, in who? In Jesus. In him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. Does that mean that God chose us before creation? Now this is where we get into that predestination, that predestined idea. There's two main schools of thought here. I'm going to give you the mile-high view on each of them, on both of them. You've got the Calvinist view, okay? The Calvinist view says God chose this block of people to be predestined for eternity in heaven. They're the ones God died for before everyone was created. I have a problem with that one. Where's the free will? You know, where's the idea of what if I do everything I can for Jesus? What if I bring it, but I'm not on that list? Well, then they'd say, well, you were on that list. That seems very tricky, right? The other one is an Arminian way of looking at it. And it says that the predestination is God using his omniscience, in other words, his ever-knowing, and omnipresence means he's everywhere throughout time. And he knows everyone who's going to accept him. And so then those are the chosen ones. They've made the choice, but he knew it back here. And then, as tricky as that one is, I would lean more towards that one because we still have free will, right? But Paul explains something to us in this scripture that really puts it out there for us. It says, before the foundations of the world. Now, what person could God possibly, that exists anyway, before the foundations of the world? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, right? Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was what? Was God. And everything that was created was through the Word. All these manifestations of God throughout the Bible, from beginning to end, from the Old Testament, and the angel of God, not an angel of God, the angel of God, whenever there was a physical interaction with God and man back then, I believe those were pre-incarnations of Jesus Christ. So why not, clear back at the beginning, God knew, hey, everyone who believes in Jesus, my son, my begotten son, is going to be chosen, is going to be holy and blameless. It's kind of a, I know it's kind of a blanket statement, okay? But Paul is putting this all in context of Jesus himself. All of us were chosen in Jesus. In other words, all of us that have chosen Jesus are chosen. Which leans back towards that Arminian a little bit. But, you know, so we all have to choose, and it's very, very tricky. And, excuse me. But he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Sons and daughters, by the way. You ladies, you get into, right? Okay. So he's predestined us for adoption through Jesus. If you accept my son, you're mine. Is what he's saying. You accept Jesus, you accept my word, you're mine. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If he's the way what? He's the only way to the Father. He is the only way to the Father. And he's the truth. Because he's God's word. God can't lie. Everything God speaks is truth. And God says, if you accept Jesus as mine, I'm accepting you. And it's in accordance to his will because he wants us. And he lavishes praise on us and glorious grace on us. And we've obtained an inheritance. When Christina was picking the music right there and I heard that first song that we sang, I thought it was, I had this one song, the Joint Heirs with Jesus song, you know, which song is that? I mean, is it a Gaither song? I mean, what song is that where they sing Joint Heirs with Jesus? Part of the Family of God. They're adopted it? Well, I didn't throw out my opinion on on throwing the song in there. I should have, but you know, we've got that inheritance because we are joint heirs. Romans tells us that. In Romans, where is it? Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. Says, the Spirit Himself bears witness on our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. And as the song goes, you know, join heirs with Jesus. So the inheritance that Jesus gets as the only Son of God, we inherit as adopted sons and daughters of God. So what was Jesus' inheritance? He suffered. We'll suffer. But He also provided. He shared. He loved. He cared. Those are burdens that we got too. You got to go home to the Father. Guess what? There's your inheritance as well. All because He chose us, because we chose Jesus. He chose. Lots of scripture supports the fact that God chose Jesus. John 1:1, we talked about already, but in Luke 9, when Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray with His disciples, this is during the transfiguration, you know, Jesus is transfigured, His face glows. His clothes are whiter than anything earthly possible. Matter of fact, He gets a couple visitors there, right? Moses and Elijah show up, chit-chatting with Him. And His disciples are there going, yeah, this is neat. Let me build some temples for you guys. And then the skies open up and there's this voice just booming. I want you to hear that. And He says, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is My Son, My chosen one. Listen to Him. See, God's saying, I chose Him to do this. Luke 23:35, when Jesus was on the cross, He got mocked for that very thing. He says, and people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself. If He is the Christ of God, His chosen one, let Him try. Let Him do it. Let's see it. They mocked Him for being that chosen one. Then 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 6 says, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by man, but in sight of God, chosen and precious. Jesus was chosen and precious in the sight of God. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. He's saying, I chose Jesus to do all this. And He is that rock. He's that cornerstone that got rejected. But you know what? You guys are stones that are being built up too. So there's more talk about that inheritance. By choosing Him, by choosing Jesus, God's like, you're Mine. You're Mine. I need you to do some things for Me. Submit to Me, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Might be mocked like Jesus was on the cross. Might be made fun of for these minuscule little ideas of ours. Which they're not minuscule, by the way. God doesn't ask us to check our brains at the door when we come into His house to worship Him. He's come and know Me, seek Me, dig into Me, choose Me, because I chose you to do these things. And see what that word says. Carry that burden. Jesus says, you're not worth coming to Me if you won't pick up and shoulder your cross with Me daily. We all have different burdens. We all have different jobs to do that we've been chosen for and gifts that we've been blessed with. recognizing that God has chosen us, selected us, and blessing us, gives us something to pay Him back with. That's that glory, and that's that blessing, and that's our sacrifice, our spiritual sacrifices of care, concern, love, and need to share Him with others around us. So they can join into that chosen fold. We've obtained an inheritance. And it's all to the praise of His glory. All of this being chosen, inheriting that, it's all to His glory. And that ultimate inheritance, besides the burdens that we talked about, is heaven. Forever with God, with Jesus, and with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Ultimately, that predestination, the elect, the chosen. God made a way. God made a way from the very beginning for us to find a way back to Him. To find that life, the way, the truth, and the life. To find that life that we can have in Him and through Him, through Jesus. God made a way. God made you. He knit you together in His womb, in your mother's womb. And God chose you. Choose Him back. Help others. Choose Him back. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for choosing us. Choosing us as believers of Your Son. Thank You also for the inheritance that we get, the gifts that You give us through the Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to show us the way. To nudge us when we need to be doing a little bit more. But thank You for choosing us to be Your children. Not Your servants, but Your family, Your children. And that love that You give us, that eternity that we can look forward to spending with You because of the service that we do to You, for You now. Father, thank You for Your love, and thank You for that Spirit that You put inside each and every one of us. And thank You for Your Son, for the sacrifices that He made for us. The ultimate sacrifice of His life for us. But also, the example that He was. To show us how to live, how to care, how to love, and how to be a child of God. Help us in this. Show us Your ways. And continue, Father, I pray, to show that grace and shower us with that grace. And help us remember always to praise You for everything, for all the gifts that You blessed us with. And we thank You for this time today with each other and with You. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.